Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow patriots. This is Matt Shea, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane. We are starting to break through with a lot of people on the alternative media side. Church and State just broke, I think, 150,000 reaches. Pretty incredible. So, thank you to everybody out there. And if you want an uncompromising church that preaches the Word of God, the gospel of the kingdom, is not afraid of the Holy Spirit, and is patriotic and loves the Constitution and this country, you found your place. Now, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, we're bringing you the story behind the story in the news. Behind the news, it's not about right or left. It is about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, and about the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. And Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. Now, this is, when it says favorable year of the Lord in Scripture, that means the Jubilee year. That's this year, okay, according to the Jewish calendar. All right. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Please take that last verse to heart. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. First, I want to thank everybody out there for standing with me and all of the other patriots, including President Trump. We have come, unfortunately, to a place in America where one third of the government at the federal level now is illegitimate. And I know many of you have been struggling with this. I know that many of you have been discouraged, and we just bind and break off that spirit of discouragement right now. There is no, and there should not be any spirit of discouragement. There should not be. We just bind and break that off right now in Jesus' name. There should not be any sort of second guessing or doubt or anything like that. It just shouldn't be there. So I hope that everyone listening understands that that's where we're at. We shouldn't be discouraged. That's coming from the enemy. And starting today, I believe this is appropriate. I am asking every person listening to Patriot Radio to fly their American flag upside down. Now, according to flag etiquette, the flag should never be displayed with the Union down except as a signal of dire distress in instances of extreme danger to life or property. And that is what this pretender Joe Biden is. Some are calling him Traitor Joe. We are in a situation in our country where, and again, I try to shoot everybody straight here and not get this, you know, kind of mealy mouth thing going on. We need to shoot each other straight when things are the way they are. Now, that's not to instill fear or panic or anything like that. It's just to say, here's the reality of the situation on the ground. The reality of the situation on the ground is that the Marxists who are trying to take over this country do not want us to ever have a free and fair election again. And the establishment Republicans who should have stood up to it did not. And they were, once again, the designated defeat mechanism, as you have heard on this show many times, based on Rich Higgins' memorandum. So I'm going to give you a few things that you should read, okay? And you need to educate yourself on this so that when you start to see it, you know how to pray and you know what to do in the natural along with the spiritual. That's really critical. Okay. And I don't say what I just said lightly. As a combat veteran, I don't say what I just said lightly as someone who has traveled around the world on the mission field. I do not say that lightly as someone who has fought this attempted takeover for the better part of my adult life. But the fact of the matter is, this country is in dire distress. The former CIA director, Brennan, the guy who voted for communist, has said that he wants to come after Christians and patriots. In several places on Twitter, Antifa has said that they are going to begin attacking patriots around the country. Not just their property, but their lives. So, in such a situation where our country is under direct attack right now, this is the appropriate thing. And I think we should fly our flags upside down until God delivers us. Now, that doesn't mean to wait around for that to happen. And I want to talk really directly to everybody out there right now. The QAnon and other disinformation that has been out there on the internet, the purpose of that stuff was to keep people apathetic and complacent because a plan was out there. Don't worry about it. There's a plan. And people waited. And waited and waited and waited for the plan, and nothing happened. Nobody was arrested. No Insurrection Act was invoked. Nothing happened. And that disinformation serves to keep people in their chairs so that they do not go out and engage on these issues. They remain silent. Stop listening to the disinformation. The fact of the matter, the raw reality of this is that right now, they are not just coming to destroy our crops, salt our fields. They want to destroy our people as a republic. And therefore, it is incumbent on every American, everybody listening to this radio show today, including the subversive elements listening to this radio show today, to understand that we are Americans. We need to begin building our community to become more resilient even than it already is. Because if you've been listening to Patriot Radio for any length of time over the years, you are already prepared. You are ready. And now it is here. There are people out there that have implied among the Marxist ranks that they are going to begin shuttering churches. They are going to begin attacking pastors. That their intent is to drive the church underground and, if possible, to destroy it. Now, that never happens because Christ already has the victory. But are we ready for that in America right now? Is your church a prepared church? And if your church is not a prepared church, if they believe that everything is going to continue the way it always has and that we're going to have a free and fair election 2 years from now and 4 years from now, and they don't understand what the threat is, the threat that we have been talking about for 12 years, we talked about what was going to happen and now it has. If they're not willing to wake up now, prayerfully consider finding a church that is awake. And there's plenty of them out there. Plenty. There are plenty of opportunities for you to receive the gospel of the kingdom and then go out beyond the four walls of the church. And I want to talk today about Esther chapters 8 and 9. Esther sought a royal decree to essentially eviscerate what Haman was trying to do to the Jewish people. Now, at that time, Haman was trying to have all the Jewish people essentially killed. Now, Esther was a Jew and was also the king's bride. So she went to get a decree. And here's the interesting part about this. No, almost nobody I hear ever talking about this. That decree said that the Jewish people had a right of self-defense on the day that Haman had set for them to be destroyed. And so the Jewish people were allowed to take up arms to defend Israel in exile. Actually, I should say the tribe of Judah in exile. And I think there were some Benjaminites there too. But anyway, we don't want to get into the details. The fact of the matter is, the Jewish people had the right of self-defense. That was how God allowed them to be delivered. And oh, by the way, Purim was celebrated and very likely celebrated by Jesus, where Mordecai was praised and Haman was stomped on as part of the ceremony. And here is the key with this. The founding fathers understood that the final check and balance in our system was a well-armed people. And today, I mean, let's just be brutally blunt about this. Today, we have the right of self-defense if there are people coming to try to destroy Christendom in this republic. The founding fathers were crystal clear on this. And the problem is mealy-mouthed politicians say that there is never a time for violence when that is not scriptural and it is not biblical. If they are coming to destroy your life like they were in Esther chapter 8 and Esther chapter 9, you have a right of self-defense against tyrants. You have it. It's in the Bible, it's in the Constitution, it was in the Declaration of Independence. And in fact, in the Washington State Constitution, it actually gets even more specific on this point in Article 1, Section 24. Go read it if you have not. Now, I posted on my MeWe site, and I'm going to go through what you should have now. So get out pen and paper so we can talk about what you should be using now to get around this censorship. And I just want to share an idea with you. Just some questions. Whose job was it to defend the republic? The county election board said their hands were tied. The state legislature said their hands were tied. The court said their hands were tied. The vice president said his hands were tied. The U.S. Congress said their hands were tied. The U.S. Senate said their hands were tied. Then who exactly was responsible in that entire process, which, by the way, had all those checks along the way? Whose job was it to preserve the integrity of the Constitution? Whose job was it to stand against wickedness, the wickedness of fraud? Nobody answers that question. And the fact of the matter is, today in America, a legitimate government does not need fences, troops, political vetting, censorship, news blackouts, and intimidation to transfer power. We posted, I want to give you one example. We posted on Inauguration Day the following quote: pray God's love over the inauguration. His power moves through his love. And Facebook restricted the account. I've got a picture of it. I posted it up online. You can see it for yourself. And the problem today that I believe that we have is that there has been, and I posted this up as well, and we've had Coach Dave on the show before, Dave Dobenmeyer. They have tried to castrate the American male. Any show of fierceness, and I'm not talking rage, I'm not talking yelling, and I'm not talking cursing. I'm talking fierceness and intensity in the defense of a family, in the defense of the country. That fierceness is what they have tried to drive out. And it is time, O men of God, to rise up in defense of our families and our country. We have a former CIA director who says, quote, we need to identify and root out political opposition from the population, end quote. That is exactly what Vladimir Lenin said. That's exactly what Joseph Stalin said. Exactly what Pol Pot said. Exactly what Adolf Hitler said. They're being very clear. And then it now comes out that the intelligence community and intelligence analysts downplayed the Chinese election influence in order to avoid supporting Trump's policies, according to an inspector. An inspector in the intelligence community came out with this. They're trying to cover it up all the way around. Just in the first day, Joe Biden is trying to rule by decree, which in America never happens. Any executive order was never supposed to apply to the people. Never. It was only supposed to apply to an executive agency. That's it. So, but he's trying to claim that he has power over the people. Well, what's the difference between that and a despot? That and a self-crowned king? There is none. Antifa violence has shaken Portland and Seattle because, and we, again, talked about this on Patriot Radio months ago, that even if Harris was inaugurated, let's be real, okay? Even if Harris was inaugurated, that there would be violence almost immediately following it. And when there was actually on the same day. Why? Why are the Marxists becoming violent? Because that's the coordinated political, nonviolent, and violent actions to drive the train toward Marxism. Fauci now is saying the U.S. will stay in and fund the World Health Organization, who is directly responsible for the massive spread in America of COVID-19, whose head is arguably a Chinese agent. This is incredible. You have the truth being laid bare. And we as Americans need to stand up now, because there will come a point where these tyrants will try to force the issue. So to know that you're not alone, to know that there are patriots out here who love this country and who are willing to stand with you, fly your flag upside down, because this is an extreme moment of stress, distress, and stress to some people. For those of us under the blood of Jesus, it shouldn't be. And I would ask everybody listening to this show today, while we still have the ability to do it, get ready to take some notes here. I would ask you to do some things with your communication and preparedness. So I'm going to go through it quickly. If you have never listened to me before, please listen to me now. Store up 2 years worth of food. Yes, I said 2 years worth of food. Make sure you are able to defend yourself physically against these Antifa communist brown shirts. Number three, make sure you have medical supplies that have enough quality with, and you have enough experience with, that you can actually treat severe injuries. And if you don't know how to do that, and you've never taken a CPR class, and you've not just the basics, go do that now. Go take a wilderness medical training class that deals with severe injuries, and take a CPR class at a minimum. Number four, get your ham license, your general, your technician and your general license. Learn how to use a ham radio. And as part of that, go online, and yes, they shut Parler down, but go online and set up an account at MeWe. I know some people are coming against MeWe, and I'm like, this is a tool. Stop. Most people are there. So go set up a MeWe account and set up a Gab, G-A-B-A-I account. That is a Gab account. It is a social media network, but it's only online. I don't think they have any apps. It's only on the web. And then lastly, set up a WeSpeak account, W-E-S-P-E-A-K account. So you have redundancy in your system, okay? Very important to do that. Also, you need to begin securing your communication. People laughed at me. I remember this 8 years ago. People were laughing. Ah, why are you worried about that? Well, now everybody's like jumping on the things that we've been talking about. Number one, if you haven't downloaded Signal, download Signal. S-I-G-N-A-L. It's a blue-looking app. Number two, download Wire, W-I-R-E. Number three, and Wire, both of those, you can do phone calls and text messages on those two apps on your phone. Set up a Proton Mail account. Proton, P-R-O-T-O-N, mail account. Also set up a Crip Text account. C-R-I-P Text, T-E-X-T account. If those give you enough redundancy to be able to communicate with people without fear that the political officers of this attempted Marxist coup are going to somehow take your job from you or take whatever from you. You can communicate securely on there. You can set up disappearing messages on Signal and Wire, particularly. The others are secure. Use secured communications now. Because if the church has to go underground, guess how the church communicates in China and other places? In fact, people have been trained on how to do that in the Christian community to go over there on the mission field so that these people can talk around dictatorial, subversive communist governments, jihadi governments. Be prepared to do that. The other thing that I would strongly advocate you do, get your family and your friends together, start your own small groups. Now, if you have started a small group already and you're unaffiliated with anything, that's great. keep watching alternative, or what I would call true media outlets, to get your news. Readout News, Cheney Free Press now, Caldwell Statesman Examiner has gone really, really well recently. Take a look at some of these good, they're still available local media outlets that put out the truth, for the most part. Not the Spokesman or Socialist Review, not the Inslander, or some of these other ones that are clearly working to subvert the Constitution in this country. And I guess the last thing that I would tell you today, everybody that I know around the world knows that the election in America was rigged. I have talked to countless people. The interesting part about it too is, everybody understands that this is an attempted Chinese takeover of America around the world. People from Africa, people from Russia, people from Western Europe and Eastern Europe, they understand what's going on with all of this. And they understand, too, that there's an attack on Christianity that is happening through all this. So get ready, as a church, as a body of Christ, that we might have to have church services in the woods. We might have to have underground services. We might have to print Bibles. We might have to get a bunch of like electronic SD cards, you know, the SD card memory cards to put the Bibles on. I mean, start thinking this way. We may have to have a lot more print material than we have in the past. Start thinking this way, because they are literally coming against it. And people have told me for years, oh, it's never going to happen, ever. We are here. They took an entire social media platform down overnight. There was a massive cyber attack against Signal. This stuff is real, folks. Understand that. And understand, too, that we should all be encouraged, because this has woke up a lot of Americans to what the truth is and has been. And I want to give one last thing, because you're not probably going to hear this anywhere in the mainstream fake media. Dr. Simone Gold, who was on the show here like a month ago, wasn't even, I don't think, longer than that, was arrested by the FBI because they discovered a photo of her holding a megaphone on the Capitol steps. She didn't go inside. They were invited in. There was a pastor who had offered prayers on the Capitol steps that was arrested by the FBI as well. This is vetted. This is real. This is confirmed. So clearly this doesn't have anything to do with, what they were calling subversive activity. Truly this has to do with them trying to crack down on people who do not believe the same way they do. Because that's what Marxists do. They have to try to drive it out. Remember the three stages that I've talked about in the past. You have the Red Terror, where they try to take the leaders out and silence the leaders. When that doesn't work, then they try to silence the church. When that doesn't work, they try to starve people out. Those are the three stages. And then, if you get the opportunity tonight, read Rich Higgins' memorandum to the president. 7 pages. And also read The Fate of Empires by Sir John Bagot Glubb. And lastly, read The 5 Stages of Collapse by Dmitry Orlov, O-R-L-O-V. Get yourself educated, prepare your community, prepare your family, stand up and be Americans. And as much as it depends on you, may liberty be where you are at. And that is the briefing from the, I don't know what we're going to call this now, the Revolutionary Radio Headquarters or something. I don't know. Nobody knows what America is anymore. Unbelievable. Anyway, that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for us. You get a chance, go to iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon. It's all over the place now. Share it with your friends and family, and especially some of the recent episodes we had with Jack Decker and Major General Paul Valley. All right. It is my pleasure today to introduce Selwyn Duke, who is a writer for The New American. He also writes for The Hill, The Observer, The American Conservative, WorldNet Daily, American Thinker, and many other publications. He's appeared on television and has also been a frequent guest on radio as well. Thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
Oh, it's great to be with you, Matt. And how are you today?
Well, you know, I'm not as... I wasn't depressed. I woke up and I'm like, yeah, this just woke everybody up. And I was actually very encouraged this morning. So I don't know about you. I just think there's a lot of opportunity. A lot of people are waking up. The New American's been talking about these issues for four decades now. So 6 decades. And really, we're witnessing what we have been warned about for years, that this is what Marxists try to do. They try to crack down on free speech and all the rest of it. So if you could kind of paint a picture for the listeners today, where are we truly at right now on the ground? And then, you know, what should we expect here in the days ahead?
Yeah, well, what we've been experiencing for a long time, actually, Matt, is what in 2012 I called a pacification effort. Now, what I said back then was, look, everyone's talking about the culture war, but unfortunately, the culture war is largely over. The left has won it. And now what we're witnessing is what you see in the wake of a successful military endeavor. The conquering force will try to stamp out the remaining dissent, and that's called a pacification effort. So that's what we were witnessing even back then. We saw the leftists going from one sector of society to another, trying to stamp out dissent, going on for a very, very long time, of course. We used to just call it political correctness. Now we call it cancel culture. It's been ratcheted up maybe 100 gears, but that's what we're witnessing. And of course, it's very, very dangerous. But if you want to frame it in a different way, this is also what you would call the last stage of communist subversion. Okay, and I'm not saying these people are, let's say, de jure communists or doctrinaire communists. That's the word I should use. They're a different brand of leftists, but that's not really the point. There are 4 stages of communist subversion. The first one is demoralization. That's the undermining of a target nation's morals. The next one is destabilization. Now, that is what it sounds like. And you could say we were experiencing that for the last year with the 570-plus left-wing riots last year, right? That destabilized the country. And all the left-wing officials who refused to enforce the law, that destabilized the country. The constant violation of the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, that destabilizes the country. The next stage of communist subversion is crisis. That's when a revolution occurs. And the last stage is called normalization, which is a euphemism, but that's just another word for stamping out all remaining dissent. And that's what the left is attempting now. Now, the question is, will they be successful? Because they're sort of jumping the gun a little bit. And you can stop me if I'm going on too long, but the whole thing is this. If leftists were smart, were really smart and wise, well, then they wouldn't be leftists, right? But what they would do is they would just continue as they had been. If they would listen to me, and don't worry, folks, they're not going to listen to me. They're probably not going to hear this. If they did, they wouldn't heed my counsel. But if they were smart, they would say, look, we control the whole culture. We control academia. We control the media. We control entertainment, most of big business now. We control big tech. For at least 100 years, because of this, we've been pulling the whole culture towards the left. And what is the result of that? Well, politics is downstream from culture. So, of course, if you keep on pulling the culture left, eventually you win the political realm. So we're not going to push too hard. We're just going to continue in that vein, and gradually we'll have the whole kit and caboodle. But you see, the problem, Matt, is that leftists really, and I say this not just to give them a shot, this is an accurate analysis, are overgrown children, and they have no impulse control. So they want power, complete power, here and now, today. And so what they're doing is they're turning up the heat too much, and when you do that, you risk causing that frog to jump out of the frying pan, if you know what I mean, to use that old metaphor. And so when you said before I heard your introduction that people are waking up, that's what's happening, because the left is getting so radical. They've dropped that mask so much, and they've dropped it too fast, that they are rousing that frog from that frying pan full of water. So we'll have to see what's going to happen, but that is what's going on, this pacification effort, and it's a terrible thing. And every time we allow ourselves to be cowed, we really are bringing them one step closer to what they want, which is complete and total power. Hello?
We know those. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Cut out for just a second. We know those four stages of subversion from Yuri Bezmenov, who the New American actually helped to take around to warn people about this, and the parent organization, the John Birch Society, a.k.a. Thomas Schumann. He talked about the fact that these are very clear stages that they follow. They always follow their rule book. Now, you said that they're overplaying their hand, and I want to kind of get into this right now. Do you really think that they want to create or foment a civil war here in the country? Because it really seems like they're trying to foment violence, especially by arresting innocent people like Dr. Simone Gold.
Oh, there's no doubt that they're trying to foment violence, that they're trying to instigate trouble, because they figure that if they can do that, then that gives them a pretext for clamping down on civil liberties all the more. We saw that on January 6th. We know that there were leftists involved, like that character John Sullivan, who was there instigating trouble. I'm not saying they were all leftists, but I'm saying some were arrested, so they were there. We know the left wants to do that. The question is this, okay? They really think that they can maybe wipe out all dissent, that they can seize complete control before we can mount an effective defense. I think that's what their calculation is, if you're talking about the more Machiavellian leftists. So if you're talking about the others, such as the activists and the rabble in the street, they're just driven by emotion. Most people are. They're driven by prejudice. But if you're talking about the people who are pulling the strings, and I mean in the upper echelons of the Democrat Party, Kamala Harris, maybe other people behind the scenes, yeah, I think that's their calculation. I don't know that they really want a civil war, but they definitely want to instigate trouble, like I said before, to give them an excuse to further clamp down on civil liberties. But I also think that their calculation, again, maybe I'm being a bit redundant, is that, hey, they'll be able to complete this normalization process and seize complete control before we can do anything about it. And unfortunately, though, right now, they have been holding sway. Now, there are things we can do, though, and I don't know if you'd agree with this, but I've been trying to spread this message. You'll hear a lot of conservatives saying, they started saying this some weeks ago, oh, woe is me, our country is lost, our freedoms are gone, there's nothing we can do. On the other hand, Matt, you find other conservatives who are actually talking about secession. You hear that talk a lot more now, and actually you heard it when Trump was in power from the liberals a little bit. Anyway, the thing is, though, there is something between secession and doing nothing, and that's called nullification. And this is a process we should have been engaging in for years. But what is nullification? Nullification is simply when you say, as it applies to the situation here on the state level, you say, no, these federal dictates are unconstitutional and unjust. Therefore, we will not abide by them. We will not obey them. And Thomas Jefferson called nullification, quote, the rightful remedy, unquote, for all federal usurpation of states' rights. And that's how you proceed. No, all is not lost, because you see, there are still states where we can control things politically if we band together, because there are states, Matt, that have honest elections. The last election, the national one, was not honest in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, other places. But in places such as Utah, South Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, other states, there are basically honest elections. And these are very conservative places where we can control things. And what we need to do in these states is, we need to start a nullification movement. Nullification movement. We need to basically say to the politicians there, do you promise to oppose and nullify all unconstitutional federal dictates? Because a lot of them are going to be coming down the pike from this new administration. If they hem and haw at all these politicians, you say next, you're off the list. That's what we have to do. we need some state officials with guts. And in other words, we have recourse. We don't just have to walk gently into that good night, but those are our two choices. We either stand up and we nullify, or we walk gently into that good night. There are no other alternatives, because the people on the left we're dealing with play for keeps. I'm trying to impress this upon conservatives. We all talk about the hypocrisy of the left. I mean, how many times do we have to talk about it? How many examples do we have to give? You know, if rightists even protest, well, they want to clamp down on them, like during the lockdowns. Oh, you couldn't have an anti-lockdown protest, but you could have a BLM protest. That's not going to spread COVID. Or we saw it more recently. When we had all the riots last year, well, they said, no, Trump can't invoke the Insurrection Act. He can't call out the National Guard. That's terrible. But then you have what happened January 6th, and then what did you see during the inauguration? You saw 26,000 troops in the Capitol, more than during the Civil War. So what's going on there? Another double standard. But you see, we know that. We know the left is like that, that if it weren't for double standards, they wouldn't have any standards at all. What I'm trying to impress upon people is realize that and understand who you're dealing with. And if you're not religious, view this as a thought exercise. When you're dealing with the left, just pretend that you're dealing with Satan. I mean that. If you proceed in that manner, you will not go wrong. You'll understand that the truth means nothing to them. They're above nothing. They're beneath contempt. And then you can fight this war the way it needs to be fought. Otherwise, you're just going to be conned. You're going to be doing what conservatives have been doing for too long, thinking that somehow you're going to talk these people out of their malevolent policies, that somehow you're going to negotiate with them. You're not going to. That's why I say at this point, it's nullification or nothing. That's the way I see it anyway.
We actually talked about this years ago when I was first in the state legislature. We began a nullification effort. 10th Amendment Center came out of all of those discussions. Completely agree. This is something practical at the local level, but it takes guts. And right now, it appears that guts are in short supply in some particular places. And I just want to see the interceding, the interposition of elected officials at the local level also upholding the Constitution and saying, hey, that's not going to happen here. One of the recent examples of this was actually Kootenai County Sheriff put out a very well-worded nullification letter and said, we're not going to enforce this stuff here in Kootenai County. This, we need to see more of this around America, and this is not something that you made up or I made up. This is something actually that Thomas Jefferson and James Madison talked about at the founding of our country.
Right. Well, absolutely. And let me point out something else. I should have said this earlier. We should have been nullifying unconstitutional federal dictates all along. Because again, the federal government has been acting unconstitutionally for more than 100 years now, I would say. But better late than never. And let's also understand, Matt, something else. This is not unprecedented. The left does this all the time. What do you think sanctuary cities are when the left won't enforce or won't abide by federal immigration law? That's called nullification. What do you think it is when municipalities refuse to abide by federal drug law, which, by the way, is unconstitutional, but that's a different point. Okay, that's nullification. So the left does it all the time. It's just that it doesn't call it nullification. We talk about nullification, but we don't actually do it, although you are seeing some movement in that regard, like with sheriffs who have been refusing to enforce certain COVID mandates and gun control laws and whatnot. So that's a good thing. But absolutely, we need to do it. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about kind of the trajectory that we're headed in right now. There are, there's every pundit out there talking about the possible scenarios. My concern right now is free speech and free thought, because when that goes, then really there isn't anything left other than to resist any sort of a physical confrontation if they try to take away your ability to speak or thought. We're seeing that begin to happen right now. How can people push back against that, and kind of how bad is it? What should we expect in the next few months in that regard specifically?
Well, we're seeing cancel culture, of course. That's just another word or another term for stigmatization, where you stand up and you speak against the powers that be and you suffer career and reputational destruction. And that's very effective because most people do have to put food on the table. They've got to bring home the bacon. And then, of course, we also see big tech censorship, which is so severe and such a serious threat, the average person really does not get it, I don't think. I mean, I'm on the forefront of it, Matt, because I see how I am censored all the time. And I'm just a little fish, you might say. So if it's happening to me, it's happening to thousands upon thousands of other conservative commentators and figures and entities. And it's all done based on computer, based on algorithm. And what we're seeing here is we're seeing the government do an end run around the First Amendment. And what I mean is this: we have such a close nexus, such a marriage between big government and big tech that the two are almost indistinguishable. And what goes on is this. I'll try to paint it very simply. In the 1990s, big tech got this Section 230 exemption where it's immune from lawsuits for defamation, right? That facilitated its growth and helped it to gain something close to monopolistic status. So now it's got all this power. It basically can shift public opinion, can shift elections. I mean, Robert Epstein, who is a liberal psychologist, has studied this, a liberal psychologist. He said that big tech, if it supports the same candidate, all of big tech, has the capacity to shift 15 million votes during an election. So in other words, that's what big tech could have done last year. And that's more than enough to throw the election one way or the other. So you're talking about a very powerful entity. So it became very, very big and powerful. Okay, then what did it do? Well, then it won more power for its allies in the Democrat Party, which of course benefits it, right? Because then it has people in office who aren't even going to think of reining it in using antitrust law against it, right? Not only that, as it engages in this censorship on behalf of the Democrats, it's also increasing its own earning power. Because when big tech shuts down an entity such as Parler, Parler.com, which is a competitor of Twitter's, it's eliminating competition, so it's increasing its earning power. Then what does it do? Then it takes some of this money that it's making and it filters it back up to Democrats in the form of campaign donations. So it's one dirty hand washes the other, and both dirty hands get together to choke out freedom and free expression. Now, what can we do? I'm not saying, Matt, that I have all the answers, but I know some actions are being taken on the state level, and I think that's what needs to be done. The federal government is not going to do anything because it's controlled by the Democrats, and even when the Republicans were controlling it, nothing was done about big tech. But the Democrats won't do anything because, like I said, big tech is winning elections for them and stifling their opponents. So why would they do anything about it? But on the state level, I think you have to look at legislation to try to rein these companies in. That's the only thing you can do, because this is such a danger to our republic, having this big entity that serves as a censorship proxy for the federal government. And that's exactly what it is. Again, this is an end run around the First Amendment. And that's why when I hear libertarians say, oh, well, they're private entities, they can do what they want. Okay, but you have to understand now, when you're talking about the kind of censorship we have here versus government-imposed censorship, at this point, it's almost a distinction without a difference for the aforementioned reason, because there's such a marriage between big government and big tech.
See, you know, I don't think that they understand at the founding of the country that the founding fathers were very clear in their skepticism of corporations essentially becoming an arm of government. For example, the East India Company, Hudson Bay Company, etc. Now, I don't think they understand that when a company essentially has become an arm of the government, that they should be checked as such. And there's a lot of people out there that don't understand that intentional principle. And that's really what we're facing today, that they have become an arm of government that is shutting down systematically any sort of dissent. And it's interesting. It's only the dissenting views that are being deplatformed. It's only the dissenting views that are having their communications disrupted. That should be a cue to all Americans.
Yeah, it should be. And, you know, again, I don't think the average person really appreciates how severe this problem is. And I like to use this example. This is a good way of illustrating the point. A lot of people will say, okay, well, start your own site online and compete with them. You really can't do that. And it's like this. If you want to compete with Walmart, you can open a store if you buy the land or rent the land across from Walmart, and you can try to sell the same things, right? And you can compete. Now, you may not be able to match their prices. I don't know about that, but you can compete. People can make their choice walking past your place to enter or not. But it's not like that on the internet with big tech now, because basically what they can do is they can hide your site and banish you to what I call Internet Siberia. And you know what it's like? It's like if Walmart could take that store that you opened up and surround it by a forest and take the road that ran by it and reroute it so it passes nowhere near your place. That's what it's like. So now you still have your store, but it's in the middle of a forest, and who's going to ever see it except for the odd hiker who comes by here and there? And that's exactly the situation with big tech. I have experienced it, Matt. I have seen how they bury my articles where they're supposed to be on the first page of Google. They're on the first page of DuckDuckGo when you enter the same search terms, but not Google. So then I'm in Internet Siberia, and then my articles are there, but no one sees them because maybe they're on the 12th page of Google. And again, it's not just me. It's happening to thousands of us. And this is one way in which big tech shifts public opinion, because we cannot influence people towards the truth to think our way if we can't even get the word out, if we can't even participate in the debate, and they ensure that we can't participate in the debate.
This is I love this. This is exactly right. We right now, if they want to shut us down, they have to literally come and do it in every single aspect, because we have all of these alternative routes right now. We are never going to be stronger than we are right now. We have to stand up right now. And the only thing I would modify on what you said is they actually aren't allowing businesses to even open right now because they're trying to lock them all down because of COVID. So really, yeah, there isn't an opportunity to open those up.
Right. No, I was just illustrating the difference between even a big entity such as Walmart and big tech. I mean, if you take big tech, Google, for instance, I've dubbed it Goog Twitface. Google, Twitter, and Facebook. Goog Twitface. That's what I call it in print. You're talking about the most powerful corporations in the history of the world. I mean, sure, we had in the early 1900s powerful corporations, but they weren't like big tech. They say knowledge is power. Well, big tech controls the flow of information, of knowledge. So, like I said, this is a very, very serious issue, and we really are behind the eight ball here. Something needs to be done about it, and we need to fight sooner rather than later, because our prospects are getting dimmer all the time, because as time wears on, what does the left do? Well, first of all, immigration continues and imports more left-wing voters all the time. Indoctrination via academia continues, so they're creating more left-wing foot soldiers through the school system all the time. Entertainment also is involved in the propaganda business, indoctrinating the young. So we have to fight sooner rather than later. And like I said, if you have any better ideas, I don't know. But nullification is the route that we need to go right now. Because if we don't, let me tell you something, there isn't going to be a 2024. People are talking about, wow, Trump can maybe run again. No, because the left stole this election. I mean, maybe I can't prove it, but I know that for a fact. And let me tell you something, they've gotten away with it, and they want to make sure that they can replicate this kind of a theft in the future. So they'll just do the same thing in 2024. It's not that hard, because what are they doing? They're just stealing a number of votes in certain key cities, heavily populated Democrat-run cities, Philadelphia, Detroit, Atlanta, so on and so forth, maybe Minneapolis. And in that way, they can swing those key states, those swing states. So no, there is no 2024. We can't look towards that. We have to take action now on the state level. They say all politics is local. Well, this really is local, and we need to get to work.
We do need to get to work, and that was very, very well said. In the last couple minutes that we have left, where can people go to find your articles and read more about you.
Okay, well, I do have my own site, selwynduke.com. I'm not usually read there. Big Tech does a good job of burying it, but you can find basically all my articles there. And I am at thenewamerican.com, a very good website. I'm often at americanthinker.com. You mentioned some other journalistic entities before. Unfortunately, I got fired from The Hill and from The Observer for being too politically incorrect, but that's the way it goes. So I am, though, found widely on the Internet.
Great job, and congratulations on that. Selwyn Duke, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Thank you, Matt, and God bless you and your audience.
All right, God bless you, too. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. Go check out his articles. He's one of the best writers that they have. No disrespect to any other writers, but I really like and intentionally read virtually everything that he prints. I think that right now in America, as we were just talking about, again, at the local level, it's interposing at the local level, county sheriffs, particularly county commissioners, particularly standing up for the people saying, hey, that's just not going to happen here in this county. That's why every single elected official is required to take an oath to the Constitution. It's actually in the Constitution. The federal and state, all the way down to local elected officials, are supposed to take an oath to the Constitution. That's because if everybody above that person violates the Constitution, it's up to the person there to uphold the Constitution. And this idea was actually upheld at the Nuremberg trials, where the excuse Befehl ist Befehl, or an order is an order, did not work to excuse people. That every single human being is held to an individual moral standard, regardless of what everybody else is doing around them. And building up our communities at the local level, building up our families at the local level, preparing our families to provide for them and to defend them. That's where we're at in America today, folks. And God wants to work exactly in this time and through all of that. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you and keep up the fight.